Welcome back to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer woman of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Aphrodite.
And I'm Amira.
And today we're going to be talking about that third episode of The Bold Type, The Scarlet Letter. But before we jump into this most recent episode, Amira, I know you wanted to follow up on something.
Yeah, there was something in the last episode that I forgot to mention that was really intriguing to me. Adina, as we know, is a she wears a hijab. She's a proud queer Muslim woman, as she stated multiple times, which I love. You know, my family is also Muslim, and from the people I know who wear the hijab, the rules that they follow is that they wear it in front of, you know, when they're in public, but specifically in front of non-family member males, men who are not related to them. And I noticed that when Kat invited her parents over for dinner, Adina was not wearing the hijab. And I just thought that that was like a really interesting gesture for her to make, that they were sort of already, she considered them already to be her family, which, I mean, you know, they didn't really touch on it, but that's kind of one of those subtle things that I noticed at the time. And then when I saw sort of a clip referring back to that later on, I was like, oh, hang on, wait a minute. I meant to say something about that and I forgot to. So I just wanted to point that out before I forget it again.
That's a really cool insight.
Yeah. And I hope it was something on purpose done by the
writers. I hope so too. Otherwise it's just like, well, did they forget?
You know? Yeah, I know, because she's back to wearing it, you know, in this episode. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, the actress Nicole Boucheri, I don't know very much about her faith or anything like that. We just know that she's Iranian. She's from Canada. Yeah, but I'm hoping that there are people on the writing team who are, you know, making thoughtful decisions about how they're... Yeah,
And I know she was in that movie, too, that Iranian movie about... also about queer Muslims. She played a queer Muslim.
Yes, before. Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that... I assume that they're making smart choices, and the choice for her to not wear hijab in front of Kat's parents was purposeful.
Yeah.
We're going to start right off because we have so much to talk about after this third episode. Amir and I have been holding on to all of our excitement. We haven't said a thing to each other about this episode because we're saving it for this podcast for you. So let's start with Kadena in this episode.
Oof. Man.
Oh my goodness.
This was a lot. It was layered as usual. You know, at the beginning, I was kind of getting a little bit annoyed with Kat for pushing for Adina to be the photographer for the project that Sutton was looking for a photographer for.
Same.
And then, you know, when she kind of sort of broke down and admitted that it was because she's like trying to help her find work for visa purposes, I was like, you know, I get it. And I mean, I know she's putting Sutton in a really awkward position, but I appreciated that she was trying to go the extra mile for her girlfriend. And you could kind of see the desperation there.
Exactly. And what I like is about the way that Adina is being brought into the show is she's becoming a more central part of the show. It's also very clear now from the way that they're setting up scenes and they're sort of building these characters is that Kadena is the primary OTP of this show.
Yes.
Like they're not even pretending otherwise.
Yes, thank
like,
God.
Oh my
by
gosh,
the way.
that I know, right? That scene where they're in the morning and like Kat is being playful on top of her in the bed, and then like she goes to kiss her and takes her shirt off, and then Adina says morning breath, and Kat says, "Oh, we're way past that." Oh my God. Oh my God. It's like they are feeding our shipper hearts. We're hungry and we want more and they're happy to give it to us.
Yep.
Wow. That's like, I live for these super adorable, like soft domestic Kadena scenes that aren't there to like forward the narrative of for that episode, but give us more insight into their relationship and their dynamic. They're building our understanding of them as a couple. And just small scenes like that, just like, ooh, cherry on top. It was just great.
Let me ask you something, Aphrodite. Do you ever get to a point in a relationship where you're past that and you're okay with morning breath?
No.
You know, me neither. And that's, I mean, it was a cute scene and all, and I appreciated the gesture, but I was like, I don't know if that's like a, you know, a level that you like get to, you know, so some people it's just like, I can't, it's too much, you know, it's like, just brush your teeth. It's not that hard, you know, brush your teeth and we can resume.
Right. Well, my thing, like, at least when I've been in relationship, it's always a race to who gets to brush their teeth first. Right. So that I can come back to the bed and act like my breath don't stink.
Right. That's cute. I like that.
Or, like, if you're in a relationship, you do, like, the kisses where you don't expose them to your yes. breath, where it's the, just, like, the really tight-lipped, soft pecs.
You know, yeah, yeah, exactly. You just keep your mouth closed. Yeah. It's similar to, like, a lipstick kiss. Like, when you have, you know, I mean, the girls I date are usually femme, and I have to practice kissing them in a way if they've just put on their makeup so that I don't wipe it off. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for asking the important questions.
Yeah, you know, I was just curious.
Yeah, I love these scenes between Kat mm-hmm, and Adina. Mm-hmm. And, like, Kat's sort of desperation. I want to keep my girlfriend in the country. I want to resolve her visa issues. Pushes her to do things that she wouldn't normally do. And pushes Sutton. So it made me extremely uncomfortable in the first few scenes between Kat and Sutton. And then I came around. And part of the reason why I came around is I realized, you know what? The way that Sutton is approaching hiring for this job is how structural discrimination often takes place, mm-hmm. or structural bias mm-hmm. takes place, mm-hmm. in that you look for people with exactly the right profile, the exact same experience that you expect for this position. And then it sort of crowds out the space for newcomers who come from typically minority communities.
Yeah,
because they may not have access to the same types of opportunities. Mm-hmm, when mm-hmm. Adina was perfectly capable of doing the job and maybe had something new to offer. And in the end, they came up with something really fabulous.
Yeah, no, anyways. I agree. You know, it made me a little uncomfortable because they didn't make it clear right away in the beginning that Adina was also okay with this. You know, I was worried that, you know, it would cut to Adina finding out and she'd be like, oh, you know, why are you pressuring her? Like, you know, you didn't even ask me if I wanted to do this job. But it turned out that Adina was apparently fine with it and very grateful to Kat for, you know, trying to look out for her and find opportunities like that for her. And also really grateful to Sutton for taking a chance with her.
I was also nervous, like you, about Adina not consenting to Kat propositioning mm-hmm, mm-hmm. all of this. And like Kat potentially putting Adina in a very strange position. It would have been nice if they had a very brief scene where Adina says, Kat, if you want to do this, then I support you, but please don't pressure Sutton.
I agree.
I feel like that's something Adina would have done.
And it's something I feel like the writers also would have thought to include. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was something that was cut in the end from the episode, you know, that, you know, we'll just like never know about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The photo shoot, I mean, it ended up going really, really well in a really unexpected direction.
I love, love, love that when it came time for them to take the photo together, Adina was already naked.
I just put all her clothes when it cut to her, I was like, oh God.
God, as if my crush on her is already not explosive. Like, I am having so much trouble keeping it together. My crush on Adina just keeps growing and growing mm-hmm, and growing mm-hmm. and growing and growing. Oh my God. There was a line where Adina tells Kat not to let her get in between Kat and her friends. As she said that, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is like catnip for me, right? Mm-hmm, I'm like, mm-hmm, I'm somebody mm-hmm. who's all about friends forever. And to have, like, the girlfriends stay friends forever and instead say, like, no, these are your friends. Like, you need to take care of these relationships. Wow. That was so beautiful. And it just sort of adds to how emotionally mature Adina is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, the fact that she was so quick to self-correct once she realized Sutton was not happy with her.
Yes.
Like, she just snapped, got it together, went back on track. And she apologized and said, you're right, I was being disrespectful. I love that Adina is so self-reflective.
And all of her dialogue, it's, again and again, we see clear and effective communication from her. I mean, that's like... That's her thing, you know, like she,
oh my God,
she just lays it down, says how it is, says how she feels, you know, and I wrote down actually my note in the scene where she tells Kat that she doesn't want to get in between her and her friends. I wrote down, OMG, Adina is such a great girlfriend.
That's my note. I know, right?
For that. I mean, it's like, it's amazing that she would just, she's the girl of everyone's dreams, you know,
right?
Not just yours anymore.
I know. It's like it's getting really hard for me to watch her be with other people on this.
I'm so sorry.
I'm like, girl, get into my life. Whew. Yeah. All of her scenes, all of her dialogue just make me appreciate her even more as a character. They're really mm-hmm. fleshing her out, which I like. I mean, we also know that Adina is flawed, okay? She cheated on Coco. She's not, you know, without flaws, but she's quick to acknowledge when she's made mistakes. And I think that's a really beautiful thing.
I agree. Totally.
Yeah. So it was also great to see Adina have scenes with other characters, having her exchange with Sutton, you know, I like that they're bringing her into the show and allowing other characters to interact with her who are not Kat. And I noticed Sutton, you know, getting really uptight and nervous around Adina. Adina's also stepping outside of her comfort zone, too, at this, at this photo shoot. But watching her drop trowel, get naked behind the camera was just fantastic. And I love that the camera pans out and you see these, like, blurred out. Like,
I know. I love that, too. I love that that's how they shot it. Like, full nudity with, like, the sensor blobs. And it just made it that much more, you know, comical.
We can talk now about Sutton. This is her first time impressing Oliver, really, being given her own task. And Oliver says, that was a big risk, Red. I love that he calls her Red, by the way.
I know. It's cute. It's cute. I like it.
Yeah. I live for Oliver's scenes, and I really want him to get his own storyline.
Yeah, me too.
Watching Sutton get nervous, behave badly, make mistakes, and then, like, come around and realize Adina is right. The candy stuff looks childish. We can come up with something better. And so in the end, both Sutton and Adina were wrong. Yeah, both of them made mistakes, and then they both came to a solution together. Again, speaking to Adina's superior social and communication skills.
I don't know if it was just me, but I thought it was a little bit obvious from the beginning that because, I mean, the types of portraits that Adina does, I thought that Sutton was going to think earlier on to incorporate the body positivity theme into the photo shoot. But I understand because, I mean, she was just going for whatever Oliver said. Oliver said to do it with the candy, blah, blah, blah. So she was just going to stick with that. I kind of saw that coming, like, a long ways away. I was like, why doesn't she just do... But I thought they were going to use, like, actual, like, plus-size models, like the one that they included earlier on in the episode.
In my outside work, I thought about, like, diversity and, like, the work environment and how, like, a diversity of experiences when brought into the same room comes up with better ideas. And how if Sutton had maybe brought on that other photographer, someone who didn't have Adina's like eye or Adina's point of view, maybe they would have gotten sort of a cookie cutter outcome instead of something that really elevated the entire photo shoot altogether. Yeah, so Sutton was put in a strange position, but I think that plenty of people in positions of privilege are given opportunities with almost no experience. Also,
yeah, definitely. I mean, so we've all met a mediocre white male in the workplace. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly. Why not give this queer woman of color an opportunity to try something?
Yeah, and I do still want to acknowledge that it was, I think, on Sutton's side, she was still being a really good friend to Kat to give Adina a chance, because imagine if it had gone wrong, how awkward it would have been for them, you know? And it was sort of going wrong at the beginning. Like, things were derailing pretty quickly. And that could have really hurt, you know, their friendship and working relationship and stuff like that. So
I was a little bit nervous that this would create a point of tension that would last into the next episode. I was like, oh, is this going to be a story arc for the entire season? Because right now we're getting solutions that are wrapped up nicely within a single episode. And like, what are the larger arcs? And we get some of that with Jacqueline and Jane. Jacqueline, she now has a foil. This woman named Cleo, who has really backwards opinions about bodies. That exchange between Jacqueline and Cleo, where Cleo says, well, it's also about health. And I was just like, oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Wow, wow, wow. This is also a great call out for fashion magazines.
Yes.
That I'm sure that there's still a lot of pushback, even when they do these body positive issues.
And this was a big... I mean, I was really annoyed by this too, because as a woman of science, which both Aphrodite and I are, for anybody listening, one of my biggest pet peeves when people use science to try to back up their bigotry, because I'd say 99.9% of the time they're incorrect. And when she says, you know, the science is still out on that, when Jacqueline points out that, you know, you can be fit and fat and it's not mutually exclusive, and Cleo responds with that, it's false. To put it frankly, it's false. You can absolutely be fat and fit and healthy. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that, because the episode, they didn't really resolve that specific line later on and, like, make sure to clarify for everyone that the science isn't out on that. There's some, you know, bigoted science out on the issue. Reputable sources agree that it is entirely possible. So.
Oh, yeah. Not so well-known fact is that being overweight is actually protective from a mortality standpoint, in that if you're underweight or even normal weight, your mortality risk is still higher than someone who's overweight. So it's these categories and like a recognition that BMI doesn't make sense for all types of people.
And it's being phased out largely as a marker of health.
But basically, Cleo's ignorant, okay?
She
doesn't know what's going on. And I love that Jacqueline got back into writing. So Sutton is sort of replacing Jane as the recipient of Jacqueline's mentorship and advice at Scarlet. Mm-hmm. Jacqueline is in the room looking for an accessory, and Sutton asks for advice, and Jacqueline gives her some advice, and then Sutton also says, like, why did you stop writing? And Jacqueline says, I don't know. And that prompts her to write a letter from the editor about body positivity. I'm really excited to see how Jacqueline and Cleo continue to butt heads over the course of the season, and to see how Jacqueline pushes back against members of the board.
Yeah, me too. And I also want to say, in that scene with Jacqueline and Sutton, I really loved seeing that side of mentoring, because, you know, often we see mentor-mentee, you know, the mentor is mentoring their mentee. Mm-hmm. And this time we see that, you know, the mentor can sometimes learn things as well from those that they are mentoring. You know, she doesn't brush off things that Sutton says, and she takes it seriously and does get back into writing. So I love seeing Sutton kind of, you know, returning the favor and having them sort of consider each other as equals for a moment.
I'm really excited about how they're using Jacqueline and giving her scenes with different characters who are not Jane. But of course, we also have to talk about Jane. And
let's talk about Jane.
Oh my goodness, what happened in this episode? So Jane is putting herself out there trying to get a new job, right? She's someone who likes order. She's someone who likes to have a plan. She's in uncharted territory with where she is career-wise right now. And so she like offers to do this freelance piece, and she goes back and interviews this Dr. Chow guy. So question is, Dr. Chow, he's got a British accent, but his last name is Chow. Is he Asian?
I think he might be half. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
We'll maybe find out.
I like him more, okay?
I would deem him an allowable love interest for now. I mean, I feel like they match each other in intelligence and passion for their work. And they respect and appreciate each other for those traits. So, you know, we'll see where it's going to go from here. But so far, I will allow it. I'm not bored.
I'm bored in general by heterosexual storylines. But I'm not bored. I'm not more bored by Dr. Chow than I was by Pinstripe. So Dr. Chow is already like worlds above Pinstripe, right? Although I do get frustrated when British accents are sort of like exoticized. Oh, you have a British accent that makes you like 10 times more attractive. There are lots of other accents. He could have had an Asian accent. He could have had a Chinese accent. But oh, if he has a British accent and he looks white enough, maybe he's an acceptable love interest.
So that's
why I was initially very skeptical when I heard his British accent. But then obviously I watched the show with subtitles to check how they were spelling Chow. And they spelled
obviously.
I know, right? I just wanted to see, is this guy Asian? Okay. It's C-H-A-U. They spelled it C-H-A-U in the caption. So that to me says that he's Asian, but he's an Asian with a British accent. I'm so confused. There's a part of me that's really excited if he is Asian. And then another part of me that is like, oh, how come all the Asians who get to be on TV have to look or sound white? You know what I mean?
Yes, I know. Yeah, whitewashing happens even with people of color all the time. Yeah. So I'm hoping we get a little bit more backstory about him if he is indeed at least part Asian. He sort of opened up a little bit about his childhood and his past at the end of the episode. I'm hoping that if they pursue him as a love interest, we'll find out a little bit more about him. So
yes. So Jane, of course, puts together this story and then finally comes to the realization that she had it good at Scarlet, that she took Jacqueline for granted. I'm so glad she said those words, because I was pretty mad at her last season.
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, you got it good. You don't know what it's like till you have a bad. Like, once you've had a bad boss, then you know what a good boss,
exactly,
the last boss was.
Exactly. And I loved Jane's speech to Jacqueline because, you know, I'm sure she practiced it, but it sounded very genuine and from the heart. And I love that Jacqueline acknowledged that the editor in sight made a mistake. You know, she said she should have never done that. She spelled it out specifically and said that.
Mm.
But then Jacqueline tells Jane that it is time to push the bird out of the nest. And Jane gets called out.
Oh my God.
For playing it safe. Basically, she tells her, no, I'm sorry, you have more soul searching to do, I believe is what she told her.
I know. Amira, question, were you surprised by that outcome?
I was not. I felt like it was too easy. If Jane was going to go back the very next episode, I thought either Jane is going to do some soul searching and then, like, at the end of the season, go back to Scarlet and Jacqueline would be like, okay, you know, you've went through a lot. I think you've learned your lesson. You can come back. But since she went back the very next episode, I'm like, all right, Jacqueline, come on. She's got to learn. You can't just, like, bring her back away.
I also saw that coming in a way. Although I wasn't sure when she started talking about the budgets, I was like, oh, is that going to be the reason why? She says, like, I'm like, no, not going to be the reason why. It's always a deeper reason. And what Jane doesn't realize is that Jacqueline is still mentoring her.
Yes, she is.
She doesn't have to be your boss to mentor you. She's saying you made a mistake. You need to sit in that mistake. You need to grow and figure out how to do this on your own and how to work without me or Scarlet as a safety net.
You know, I mean, I think that she was right to do so for multiple reasons. But also, you know, earlier in the episode, I think we see that Jane has the tools to get by and learn this stuff on her own. I mean, she had only been employed for one day, which, as we all know, in this economy, I mean, come on, like, you don't just get a job back after one day of being unemployed, after being fired, you know?
Yes.
And then when we see her finally land that interview, God, I loved seeing that persistence, because a lot of women are frequently discouraged from being, you know, aggressive, go-getters, blah, blah, blah. You know, we all know it. We've heard it before. Jane is, like, not giving up. And I love seeing that on television, that kind of being normalized, where she's like, well, you know, what about this? What about a freelancer? Blah, blah. Like, she just, like, keeps at it. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, but that's okay. I think that we're seeing sides of Jane that we're going to start seeing a lot more of. And I'm really excited to see how she starts to grow in this time away from Scarlet and trying to, like, you know, spread her wings on her own. But the question is, do you think that she will come back to Scarlet in the end?
I think in another season, she could come back to Scarlet. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. She could come back to Scarlet in another season in a different capacity where she might have things to teach Jacqueline.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Because I think you made a really great point about how Sutton was getting Jacqueline to think about things a little bit differently. Like, why aren't you writing? I think it would be great for the teacher-student dynamic to shift, for Jacqueline to not always be the one telling Jane what's best for her or, like, steering Jane in the right direction, but that maybe Jane has something to tell Jacqueline and other people at Scarlet too. But I don't think it's happening in this season. Jane has growing to do. She's got to live in her failure. Yeah. Lots of bold choices on this show called The Bold Type.
Who would have thought?
Okay. So now I think we have to talk about that preview.
Yes, please. Oh my God.
If you have not seen the preview for episode 4, are we in for a show on Tuesday? Wow.
This is like gay meme territory that they're about to go into. The ex of my ex is my girlfriend or something, you know, with like.
Yes, yes. I am so excited because this whole time I'm like, Adina, you've probably got way cooler friends. And like, where is the whole community of queer people that you interact with? Where is that circle? So in this upcoming week's episode 4, Kat and Adina go to a lesbian bar. And of course, there's a line around the block waiting to see if Adina's available, right? They're like
they just want to catch up, you know? They're like, hey, what's going on? Put your arm around her. Why not?
Kiss her on the mouth, flirt with her, like cozy up with her, pull her away from her girlfriend. You know, it's just like,
yeah. The whole, like, nine yards, man. I mean,
Kat, did you think Adina wasn't going to have a crowd of lesbians lining up to date her?
And you know, now we're going to see what we've been saying the whole time, which is that Adina is everyone's dream girl.
Oh my God.
Like, Kat, you're not the only one who was swept off her feet. Like, let's be real. This amazing artist. So,
yeah.
God. And it looks like they're going to tackle the topic of jealousy, which I'm really excited to see how they handle it. I'm hoping that that's what it is, because they kind of led into that in the preview. I think her friend says, you know, like, oh, you're not jealous or something like that. And Kat's like, well, no, they're just like her friends. And the girl's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's be clear. My position on Kadena is that Adina is actually out of Kat's league. Okay. That's my position on the topic.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've talked with you about this in the past, Amira, but in season one, I actually thought Adina might be Polly.
I remember you saying that. And I also was suspecting it.
I just always thought, like, Adina is somebody who is, like, love and affection for people can't be, I don't think there are bounds on her love for other people. So it would make sense to me if Adina was Polly, and if Adina was just someone who never got jealous, and for Kat to suddenly be exposed to this experience of, like, oh, what it's like to first be in a relationship. Because remember, this is Kat's first relationship ever. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And then what it's like to be jealous. And then also, number three, what it's like to date someone who's deeper in the queer community than you are.
Mm-hmm. Man. So many firsts.
She's a gaby. Yeah. She's still got to figure this out. And then Adina's just got to, like, bat them away. Sorry, yeah. I'm taken. Oh, my God. Sorry, ladies. Get in line behind Aphrodite.
Right. You're first in line. Yeah. Okay, well, me first. We'll admit it. We'll respect that.
Me first. Yeah, I'm really excited for next week's episode, but I'm also generally excited about episodes of television where we see lots of queer characters, even in the background. What is it actually like to live as a queer person in New York City? You're not hanging out with straight people 24/7.
Right, because that's exhausting.
No.
I love like depictions of queer spaces, because I also feel like I mean, it's nice for us to see, but also I like knowing that straight people are seeing that, because, you know, they're oblivious. You know, I don't know if you've talked to, you know, a hetero recently, Aphrodite, but
No.
You're very good at avoiding them. But I notice that they just don't really realize that gay people have their gay groups of friends and gay spaces and events and stuff that they go to, and, like, our shows, we have our own memes, we have, you know, everything that straight people have, we have a obviously better queer version of it. And
we have a culture, people.
We have a culture. and you know, straight people don't see that, because queer folks are used to sort of censoring themselves around straight people. They don't want to sound too gay in front of the straights, because then you would be accused of constantly bringing it up and, you know, being too gay. So it's nice for them to see it in this kind of context, and it kind of makes them stop and think, like, okay, like, queer people have lives with each other.
At least
as elementary as it sounds, you know.
At least for Kat and Adina, this also introduces more balance into their relationship, because Adina has been going into Kat's world, but has Kat been going into Adina's world?
Right.
You know, there's also a clear power difference between the two of them because of Kat's status as a U.S. citizen. Adina is sort of still searching for more permanent work and living with Kat, depending on Kat, calling Kat during the day and being available for lunch or a short chat, and Kat calling and checking in. I think Kat has so much of the power in their current relationship dynamic, and I think it'll be nice for us to see Adina, first of all, back in her own element, and where Kat starts to feel like the outsider.
I'm altogether really excited for what this next episode has to offer, so
Kat is in for, I'm excited for her to get this reality check of how hot Adina is to other people.
I love how desperate you are for Kat to, like, realize Adina's full worth, you know, like, to make sure you know how good you have it.
I just want to make sure that she's not taking Adina for granted, okay?
Of course.
It
of
already
course.
Took her a while to go down on her. Like,
But she made it there. She did it.
She did. It just took a minute. Okay.
Yeah. I'm curious. Oh. I'm curious to see how it went. What Adina's rating would be. We didn't really see that. So we didn't see, you know, Adina dishing to her friends.
Oh my God. Well, Adina's too classy for that shit. She wouldn't say anything, probably. She'd probably be thinking things like, you know, it's you'll get better with practice.
Yeah.
Like,
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, God. Maybe on that note, we should say thank you for joining us for this episode of Let's Get Our Ship Together. We have a lot more shipping to do this season, and next week's episode is going to be super shipworthy. Woo!
I cannot wait. All right, tune in next time, guys. Bye.